Let's pray. Father, as we reflect today upon the life you've given us and this year that lies before us, we pray that your word would speak to us and it would challenge us and encourage us in the year ahead to follow Jesus each and every day. Amen. I wonder how many times people have said Happy New Year to you in the last 24 hours, or perhaps a little before. So that's the sort of time of the season it is for us. One year has come to an end, and a new year is open before us. Now, New Year's day means different things to different people, doesn't it? For some, it's just a chance to party and party hard. For some people, it's just another day. And for some people, it's quite definitely a time to look back on the year that has been and to contemplate the years that lies before us, all the hopes and dreams we have for that. And sometimes, as part of our New Year observation, people make what are sometimes called resolutions. I wonder if you've ever made a New Year's resolution. And if you have made a New Year's resolution, have you kept it for the next 365 days? I suspect that in many cases, the answer would be no. Because what happens is that New Year's resolutions quickly, even if they're well-intentioned, get lost in the mist of time and really are probably not a lot more than an expression in many cases of just wishful thinking. Well, today, 1st of January, marks the beginning of the year 2023. And even though our dating system is the one that's dominant in today's world, there are other calendar systems. For example, in the Chinese calendar, the new year doesn't begin for another 3 weeks on the 22nd of January. In the Hebrew calendar, it's currently the year 5783 and has been since the 25th of September last year. In the Islamic calendar, it's the year 1444, and their new year will begin on the 19th of July. Now, there are a whole lot of complicated reasons why different traditions have different calendars, and I'm not going to go into those because they're really quite complex. But I simply cite them to make the point that the significance of any date is seen by the lens through which we look at the time. And for the Christian, it makes a lot of sense for us to see the world in which we live and time as we have it as being focused on the person of Jesus. And our lives are to be focused on his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's not just that we have the annual celebrations of Christmas and Easter, or our weekly observance of the Lord's Day, but each and every day is to be lived in the light of Jesus. And if we're serious about following him, we should be able to say the words of the Psalm 118 every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A great verse to call upon as a new day begins, as a new year begins. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, our Bible reading today was from the Old Testament book of Lamentations. And it was written sometime after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. And before the resumption of worship in the new temple, which took place around about 520 BC. And in that reading we heard today, the writer is expressing deep sorrow. And there are two main reasons why he has this deep sorrow. The first is that the temple is no longer the important center that it once was to worship the Lord. The second is that with the capture of Jerusalem, many of the Jewish people had been taken into exile and were now living in Babylon. So Lamentations comes from a people whose place of worship has been destroyed by a foreign power, and a people who now find themselves forced to live in a foreign land. Now, the essence of a lament, it's a feeling of pain or loss, and it's also looking beyond that pain and loss, in most cases, for a better future. And the Psalms, many of them are in that category. Well, the lead up to today's reading from the Book of Lamentations contains quite a number of expressions of the deep grief of the people of Judah. Next slide is Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. And in this passage, the writer says, he's reflecting on the state of Judah. He says, "How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who was once great among the nations. She was queen among the provinces, has become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her." That's a pretty sad statement, but that's what it felt like for the people of Judah when their city had been destroyed, Jerusalem, and they are living in exile in Babylon. But also in this passage today for Lamentations, there's a recognition that despite the fact they'd had repeated warnings from the prophets, what had come about to them as a nation was because of their stubborn refusal to honour the Lord. It wasn't just the leaders, it was the people. Everyone was caught up in this repeated failure to honour the Lord for who he was and what he had called them to be. And what had happened to the people of Judah was, in fact, God's judgment upon them, the inevitable consequence of their disobedience in rebellion. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 5, the writer says, "Judah's foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe." And as Lamentations goes on, we have a series of poems which are reaching out to God from this deep place of pain. And while we must not overlook the fact that there are strong references to suffering and judgment, there's much more to Lamentations than that. And that brings us to today's reading. In the midst of his grief, the writer reaches out to God as being the source of hope for a better future. In chapter 3, 19 to 20, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." We see in those words, there's absolutely no denial of the depth of his present suffering and the deep emotional impact it's having upon him. But that is not the end of the story. The writer looks beyond his present circumstances and he finds hope in the Lord. Verses 21 to 23. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The two words of that passage I want to focus in on today, the words hope and faithfulness. The faithfulness of God to his promises, and the hope that we can have that no matter what we may be going through, God is faithful, he can be relied upon to keep his promises to us. Well, on this first day of 2023, we may well have hopes for the future, but none of us can be completely certain about what's in store for us. But what we can be absolutely sure about is that God will be faithful and he will be with us. He will be with us both in our joys and in our disappointments. He'll be with us when things are going well. He'll be with us when life gets tough. Christian hope isn't just wishful thinking. It's not that at all. The letter to the Hebrews puts it like this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. For the Christian, hope is the confidence that comes from knowing that God is with us here and now in the present, and God will be with us in the future, no matter what it may hold. Hebrews describes Christian hope as being a firm and secure anchor for the soul. I love that image, a firm and secure anchor for the soul. At every time I read those words of scripture or hear them, I'm reminded of an experience I once had about needing an anchor that is firm and secure. I was fishing alone in a very small boat in a New South Wales waterway that was unfamiliar to me. I dropped anchor, but I wasn't altogether certain that the anchor had reached the bottom. So I looked to my right and my left, and I got some bearing points to see what was going on. And within a few minutes when I checked, my vantage points were way up there and way back there, and the incoming tide had taken me to a place I didn't want to be. And as a consequence, I had to row against the incoming tide to get back to the shore. It's an experience I will never forget. Had the tide been going out, I would have been on my way to New Zealand. Well, it's not just boats that need a firm anchor, a secure one. Our souls do too. And that anchor is our hope in Christ. For the Christian, hope isn't wishful thinking. It's the confidence that God can be relied upon to be with us whatever the future holds, and that he'll be with us when our earthly life comes to an end, and he will then welcome us into his eternal presence. That's our Christian hope. God will be with us now, and God will be with us for all eternity. And although the word hope is not explicitly used, in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes something that I think is, for me, an excellent summary of Christian hope. He writes 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 to 18, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You know, it's pretty easy to coast along in life when all's going well, but that's not always the case, is it? And I think we're living at a time in human history, in recent times, where that's definitely not the case. Let me just quote a few examples to support that point. We've got the current Russian invasion of Ukraine taking place. It's devastating that country. Seen almost 7,000 civilians killed and 17 million people forced to leave their homeland. And it's not just about something that's happening a long way away. It's also something that's impacting our lives here in Australia, and indeed throughout the world. We're seeing the ripple effect of that in the economies of other nations. We'd like to think that 3 years on, the global pandemic was over, but it still continues to affect the lives of millions of people across the world. And the reality of life for many people here in Australia at the moment, because of our high inflation, it's getting increasingly difficult to put food on the table and provide housing for themselves and their families. And on top of that, we've been through massive bushfires, and now we've got floods. Now, our lives might be comparatively cushioned from those things, But the reality of human suffering is a profound challenge about how we live in relationship with those who are going through those sorts of experiences, even if we're not one of them. This year, the world population reached a total of 8 billion. And of those 8 billion people, some 100 million have been displaced from their homeland by persecution, conflict, violence, or human rights violations. 100 million people. According to my calculation, that's 1.25% of the world population. Or to put it another way, it's about 4 times the total number of people living in Australia. And if we stop long enough to reflect on that reality, it's really quite a profound challenge about how we express our love for God by loving our neighbour, to show love for people who are going through deep challenges in life. I think the writer of the Book of Lamentations had a lot in common with the 17 million people displaced in Ukraine. He was someone who had been forced to leave his homeland, someone who knew firsthand what it was to suffer. And yet he could still say, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That wasn't a statement came out of a position of personal comfort. That was an affirmation that came from deep pain, the pain of having lost something that was precious. Well, perhaps that sort of suffering seems so remote to us, we find it hard to identify with. But there, among us here at Wellspring, there are those who, like the people of Judah in the Book of Lamentations, have been forced to leave their homeland. And among us, there are those who are suffering, perhaps silently in other ways. People who are going through serious illnesses of body and mind. People who are having to deal with children who are acting out. Couples going through marital problems. People dealing with broken relationships amongst their family and close friends. Problems in the workplace. And problems with our finances. The list could go on. We need to be sensitive to the fact that people are struggling, even if we are not. And sometimes we can be so rejoicing in what's going so well for us that we lose sight of our need to be sensitive to the struggles of others. Whatever our struggles may be, whatever our struggles, our friends and family, they are matters for constant prayer. Whether our struggles be great or small, let us not despair. Let us remember the hope that we have in Christ on this New Year's Day and draw on hope on God's faithfulness to us. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Let's pray. Faithful God, we look back on the year that has been. We thank you that you have been with us, even when we've not been consciously aware of it. You've been with us in our joys and with our struggles. We thank you, faithful God, for your promise that you will be with us always. You will never leave us or forsake us. Father, help us to walk the coming year in the light of your promise to be with us always. When things are going well, may we go on in life with thankful and joyful hearts. when things are not going so well. Help us to turn to you, the source of hope. Father, we pray that in the year ahead, more and more we might be people who know what it means to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Help us to be people who show love for you in love for others, both in word and in deed. In Jesus' name, amen.